Tonight, do we welcome the Holy Spirit into this place? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Amen. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. God is so good to us to even let us have a desire to come to his house. It's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful to have that desire? Are you glad to be a Christian tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you too? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Yes, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Yes, you are. Well, it's great to be in church tonight. I know you had a wonderful time here over the weekend. And just God is so good to us. I certainly appreciate an omnipotent Father full of mercy and grace. I need every ounce He'll give me. How about you tonight? Do you appreciate His mercy? Do you appreciate His grace? Are you a trophy of His grace? Look at somebody and say, I'm a trophy of the grace of Almighty God. And that you are. You certainly are. Omnipotent Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Got a lot of things we want to let you know about tonight. Brother Reese been suffering with, had some kind of a knot on his head. He's just about gone. It's went away and he wants to thank the Lord and praise His wonderful name. Somebody say praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. Sister Rachel Hamblin says to please pray for my father, Brother Dale Potter. Has had a really bad infection in his foot. The infection has been treated and is getting better. But one of his toes is not healing. The doctor is planning on doing an MRI on his foot tomorrow. Thank you for your prayer. So we just want to commit that to the Lord and ask God to be with Brother Dale Potter. Michael Boggs asked that the church would pray with him to make an important decision before Sunday. The Lord knows all about the need. We'll just commit it to the Lord. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Brother Mac Carter. Has a very bad cough again. So we certainly want to pray for him. Sister Joanne Tessa says to please remember my daughter Joanna. Last night she had to go to the ER. Mainly pray for the Lord to save her soul. So we just want to commit that to the Lord tonight. Bella Baines called and requested prayer for her niece, Susan Hatchett, who is having emergency surgery tomorrow on Thursday. She said she recognizes that God answers this church's prayers and wanted to request prayer. So let's just pray for that need tonight. Sister Mary Rudolph called from Illinois and wants the church to pray for her 3.5-week-old great-grandson, Neil. He is having medical problems and is in the hospital. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Brother Phil Priest sends this in. This is for my mother. She has been admitted to the hospital several times this year due to a heart disorder called AFIB. Yesterday, she was admitted again into the ER. And a normal heart rate is around 60 BPM, but her heart rate was 170 BPM. She is very weak in body and emotionally drained. Please join us in prayer that the Lord's will would be done. We ask that the Lord would heal her through a miracle, medicine, or surgery to fix her heart rate. So we just commit that to the Lord and ask God to be with Brother Phil Priest's mother as we pray tonight. Brother Bob Strayer wants us to remember Sister Sue Strayer. She has a herniated disc, suffering from a lot of pain due to that. So let's remember that. Brother Dan Dyer wants us to remember Sister Judy Dyer in prayer. She is homesick tonight and needs healing. Brother Chuck Dixon wants to thank the church for the fruit basket, the saints for their prayers, the cards during his recent surgery. So we just commit that to the Lord and thank God for touching our brother. I want to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely having a test on her heart next week. So let's remember that need tonight. There will be a trustee meeting tonight after service, so remember that. Sister Linda Lawrence is having problems with her sugar, so let's pray that that would go well for her. Just a lot to ask the Lord about tonight, a lot to thank Him for. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Now, do you believe He's able? Do you believe He's more than able? Let's stand tonight, if you would. Amen. I certainly believe He is able myself. And we just want to commit these things unto the Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus before we pray tonight. Let's give Him some thanks for what He has done. He has been wonderful to us, right? He has been outstanding, gracious to this group of people. I love Him for it. How about you? We want to say thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, all you've done. I am so blessed. Soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I want to give you thanks. We want to say thanks.
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 I give you thanks. Tonight, if you would, let's join our brother in prayer as we pray tonight. Let's invite His presence into this. We're going to have some church here tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother Brent, we love you, buddy. God bless you.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, like the song says, Lord, we just want to give you thanks for all that you've done already, Lord, in our lives, that you've called us, Lord, that you placed that desire in our hearts, Lord. And you said yourself, Lord, when you were here on earth, that you said that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Just the fact that we have that desire, Lord, is a blessing. Because there's many in this world, Lord, that they don't know you, and they don't know they have a need of you, Lord. They know that there's something missing, but they try to fill that need with other things. But God, I'm so thankful to know the truth. I'm so thankful to feel that pull. I'm so thankful that I have a deep that can respond to the deep that you called out. And God, I'm so thankful for your mercy and your grace that you give every day. Your mercies are new every day with us, Lord. And Father, I'm so thankful that you're faithful, Lord, to each day, Lord God, that I can call on you. And that even like these requests I'm holding in my hand, Lord, there's too numerous to tell, Lord God. But anytime we have any kind of need, Lord God, that we can just come to you in faith and just know that you will be able to take care of it. And not only that you will, Lord, but that you have an expected end for us, Lord. You know that these things, they're just temporary, Lord God. These sicknesses and these decisions that need to be made, Lord. Any kind of situation that may happen, Lord God, we know that they couldn't even come our way, Lord God, if you didn't approve it first. And God, there's consolation in that, God, because you would never give us anything that would destroy us, Lord. And God, we just thank you for that faithfulness that you give to us, Lord. And pray that we just commit all these things to you, Lord God, and just know that you're through your will, Lord God, that you can just bless these people and just bring them back to health and just guide those that are needing guidance, Lord. And may you just relieve the afflicted, Lord, we pray. Father, may you just be with the service tonight, Lord. Just help Brother Donnie just be able to get out of the way, Lord God, that you just be able to speak through him. Just be able to speak to our needs that we have, Lord God. You just go through each person here, Lord God, each heart here. We pray that you just help us, Lord God, and speak things of eternal value. And may we just walk away benefited of our gathering, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. I just got word they have copies, the DVD copies of the 2015 Youth Banquet. They have those available for you. Is that right, Brother Jim, over in the library? They have some of those available. So if you'd like to pick one of those up, the 2015 Youth Banquet on DVD, if you'd like to pick one of those up after service tonight, they have those available. In another hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours, this service will be history. You'll never have another opportunity to participate on Wednesday night service, July the 3rd, or this is not July, this is May the 13th, 2015. Feels like July, hot-wise, don't it? But you'll never have another opportunity. Let's make the most of it. Is that all right, everybody? Let's have some church here tonight. What's wrong with that? God's good. God's got on Wednesday night too, right? Singer, buddy.
I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior speak to me. Well, He said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting.
Hallelujah.
And child, I will lead you out where you can see.
I want you to sing it, church. sure appreciate you singing tonight. You're singing really good, and I appreciate it. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. Brother Donnie's going to come here just in a little bit and bring the word of the Lord to us. So looking forward to the preaching of the word tonight, aren't you? We learned a little course, and brothers, if you could put that up for us. It's just a simple little course, but I believe once you sing this, and it goes from here to right here, you'll know exactly what you're singing about. It's called Did I Mention? And we mention a lot of things in life, but sometimes we fail to mention the great things that God's done in our life, what He's done for us, where He's brought us from, where we're presently at, and Brother Rob, where He's taken us to. I'm glad that we can know where our journey started, and I know where it's going to end. We read the back of the book, and you know what? You are a 100% guaranteed winner. Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Can we put that on the screen? All right, let's sing. You'll learn it with me. It's very simple. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him? When I could see no way, yet He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He has made me? I love Him. That's all I want to say. Sing it now. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him? When I could see no way, yet He makes a way. He has made me. I love Him. That's all I want to say. Sing it again if you will. Oh, did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him. When I could see no way, yet He made a way. And did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He has made me? I love Him. That's all I want to say. One more time if you will. Did I mention, oh, how I worship? Lead it back.
Faithful to every promise He has made. Amen. And Megan, say amen to that.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. 3 months after the children of Israel have come out of Egyptian bondage, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. 3 months now after they come out, God begins to tell them all these do's and don'ts. As a matter of fact, if you want to read Exodus 20, 21, 22, you'll find on and on and on and on and on and on the do's and don'ts that God gives these free people. That's true freedom. I said that's true freedom. It wouldn't do any good to say that when they're under Pharaoh. But God gave them freedom. Now he said, now that you're free, this is what I want you to do. Aren't you glad we're free?
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight so much. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We can come to church on Wednesday night. Thank you that we can have church in the middle of the week. Lord, I realize lots of places around the world can't. They don't have their own building. They have to rent a school or whatever more. I'm just so grateful that we can be able to come to church on Wednesday night, Father, to be able to break up our week. Oh, how we love you so much. And it's like we can just never get enough, Lord. Enough of your word, enough of being together and worship and all that. We just count it such a privilege and an honor. We pray that you'd speak to us tonight again, would you, Lord? Those things which we have need of. These scriptures which have been written down so many thousands of years ago, but yet we believe that you have the capability of taking something that is historical and being able to bring it up through the anointing of the Holy Ghost and make it so current, it's as if though it was written yesterday. Because we believe that's the kind of God you are and that's the kind of book that the Bible is. So speak to us tonight, I pray, from your word. May we be benefited. May we be blessed. May we be helped by our gathering together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's turn, if you would, to also to chapter 31, and let's read verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Now, this is ongoing. Remember, we read in chapter 20, but now we've come over to chapter 31, and God is still giving things of do's and don'ts. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now we're speaking about the lives of the prophets, about Moses again. I want you to notice, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony. Tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now God had been given all kinds of things, restrictions and regulations, how to handle a slave, how to handle this and that and the other, but God never wrote all of that down. But God wrote down the 10 things that was very important. Now watch, after God gives him these tablets of stone, look at the very next verse, chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. Now, Moses, let's get the setting of it. Moses has been gone for almost 6 weeks. The visible presence of God was not so much with the children of Israel, but with their prophet. So when Moses went up to the mountain to be in fellowship with God, the visible presence of God went with him and was not with them. So Moses is gone. The pillar of fire is gone. The visible presence of God is gone. They haven't heard one thing from Moses for week after week after week. Now, they do not know what's happened to the man. They don't know, naturally speaking. If a man got up on the mountain and fell, they don't know if something, some creature ate him. They have no idea what has taken place. So when they saw that Moses had delayed, they came down. Notice the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us God. So the pillar of fire is gone. The visible cloud that's burning, there's no cloud, there's no fire, there's no prophet, there's nothing. Seemingly no visible presence of God at all. And it's always when people arrive to this place that it creates a loophole for idolatry. Now listen carefully now. The visible presence of God, the burning pillar of fire, this and that and the other, no doubt would have helped kept at bay much of this type of thing. But they saw nothing. No cloud, no fire, no burning, no thundering, no shaking of the mountain. It was absolutely nothing. I mean, sort of like where we are today, kind of, you know. So the prophet wasn't there, the fire wasn't there, the cloud wasn't there. So it's just them and the Word. Man alive, how in the world can anybody live right with just the Word? Well, if you're elect, you'll find a way. And if you ain't elect, there ain't no way anyhow. Oh, so I don't get nothing out of going to church. You just stand up there and preach and read scriptures and quote. Look, if you didn't get nothing no more than just the scriptures and quotes I get, there's something wrong with your getter. You ought to get something out of every service just if you don't get nothing but the scriptures and the quotes. And if you don't, there's something tore up of your getter. And you need to get your getter fixed. If you get your getter fixed, you'll get something out of church. Hallelujah. Now don't worry, Daniel Webster not come up with that word. You'll never find it in Britannica Encyclopedia, but it makes perfect tangible sense, don't it? Now, the visible presence of God is gone. So they've waited and waited. Now look how close they are. God has just finished up giving this to Moses. Now within a couple of day period. Now Moses is the one who's writing this. And it's just within a couple of day period by which God has consummated all the do's and don'ts that he's going to bring to the children of Israel. And now they are coming right up to the time, and Satan apparently knows that the time is getting close. He's running back and forth between God and the people. So here's God telling Moses this and that and the other, and sees God writing it all, and he can tell that them tables of stone are just about full and there ain't going to be no more room. So he knows he ain't got but just a little window of time to really move on the anxiety and the nervousness of the people. Now think how close they are to getting tables of stone that are written with the very finger of God himself. But if Satan can get them to jump the gun, as we say, and jump into something over the top of that word, and something was coming off the mountain with their name on it. Oh, children, how many times has the devil got us in the very same place when a miracle was right outside of our door and we lost faith? A miracle, a financial miracle, a healing miracle, a miracle in your marriage was right at your door, fixing to knock on your door, and you lost faith at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the time for the miracle was at 7:15. Oh man, I'll tell you what, this is why we need to believe. Just keep right on believing. Just keep right on believing. Whether you feel it or not, whether you understand it or not, just keep right on believing. But Brother Donnie, what if I believe till 7:15 and don't happen? Believe till 7:30. Well, you can't, I can't do it. Well, believe in 5-minute increments then. Well, I can't do it. Well, bring it down to 1-minute increments then. Well, I can't do it. Bring it down to 30 seconds. Believe every 30 seconds, in every minute, then every two. Before you know it, you'll find yourself like Abraham, Sarah. Don't you doubt it. We're going to have that baby. Oh my. Now you imagine they wanted a visible, tangible representation of an invisible God. Are they asking for so much? Are they really asking for something that is so bad?
Are they asking for something that is so contrary? All they want is something to know that something is with them. It's not that they're going back to Apis, the god of Egypt, the calf god. It's not that they're going back to some of those other things. That's not exactly what they're even asking for. If you notice, they ask Aaron and they say, make us gods. And the word gods is Elohim. They are not asking for a false god. Elohim is plural. They are asking for a visible image to be made to this invisible God. Is that so wrong? It is, unless God's making it. Now remember, God told them, don't you make any visible image out of anything in heaven or anything on the earth. Don't you do it. If there's going to be a visible image, I will make it for you. Which he did in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But the people could not wait, and Satan come right up. Isn't it amazing it didn't happen a week after they'd done it, or 2 weeks, but it's within a couple of days time frame that the prophet is fixing to come back off of the mountain with the word of God. So they say, make us gods. Make us Elohim. Make us a representative of that divine power. We're not looking for another god. We don't want Baal. We don't want any of those things. All we're asking for is give us a visible image, something that will represent him. Now, whether it's a pope or a preacher or a pastor or a prophet, just give us something that will represent him, that we can be able to not exactly worship it, but we will worship him through it. Oh, I hope somebody's going to hear me tonight. Oh, my, my, my. It will only be a conductor through which it will be able to project our worship to the divine invisible God. We're not looking for something to replace him, but make us Elohim. Make us something that will answer. How is it plural? It will be the visible of the invisible. It will be a visible image of the invisible God. Make us Elohim. Him, plural. Bring the tangible world before us. Oh, children, don't sit there and look dumb at me. Don't you understand this very scheme has worked down through time? Don't you understand why? That Satan has done exactly the same thing at every time, every denomination that started out, every move that started out with who? The invisible God. Then what did the people want? They wanted a visible image declared of that invisible God. And the people in the message are going exactly the same way. Come on, it takes real people of faith to serve an invisible God. When you cannot feel him, when you cannot see him, when you're not even sure by your senses that you know he's around, but yet something inside of you says he is here. Whether I feel him or not, he is here. Whether I can be able to touch him or not, he is here. Now remember, God in the original plan was not going to give Aaron anyway. This displays to us why. Aaron does not have the makeup to stay true like the prophet Moses does. Aaron didn't have the courage just to stand up and say, are you crazy? That's the way I'd say it. You know, whatever he'd say equivalent in Hebrew. What do you mean? No, here they are right down at the foot of the mountain. God is right up here out of sight, and they are fixing to make this God right in the face, in the very face of the invisible power of God. It's not like they're 10 million miles away. It's just right up here, and they're fixing to worship this idol right in the face of God. Oh, my. And Aaron said unto them, now notice Aaron's reply. Aaron doesn't say, no, he did not. This is contrary to the word. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Now you know it's been conjectured, and I'm not certain that it's not, could possibly be this way, that Aaron actually tried to take away the value of the way they looked upon dress, and their earrings and necklaces. necklaces and bracelets basically was the wealth that they had. So he went this way to try to discourage them. But they were so set on having a visible image to this invisible God that as soon as he asked for it, they broke them off. So the plan totally backfired on Aaron now. Now that they took off their earrings and necklaces and all, now he has to follow through with the plan. Oh my. Oh my. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off of the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Now watch, we can see this occasion that their desire for idolatry even had a higher position than their appearance of dress, which is pretty rare within itself. What's he doing? Giving the people what they want. Don't you understand why kingdom building preachers has worked in every age? Do you understand why kingdom builders succeed? It's because there is an element of hunger among the laity. If it was not for laity desiring kingdom builders, they would never get off the ground. But it shows that there is a desire. What is it? It's the very same thing that was among these people. Why do people want a kingdom builder, a superhero preacher, or whatever you want to call it, that has to be above everybody else and not just brothers, you know, one of the brothers? Why does a man like that succeed? Because the people want that kind of a preacher. They don't want the preacher that'll just tell them the way they live, how to live right, get right with God, be simple, love one another, don't exalt yourself. That they get tired of that. That's boredom. That's monotonous. So they want some kind of superhero guy. My, he's a Batman that can fly through the air. You know, he's a Robin. He's this and that and the other. But yet he's a message preacher all rolled up in one. He's got all nine signs and wonders and miracles and gifts. He can raise the dead. He can walk on water. He can do all of these things supposedly. And yet why does it succeed? It should not even succeed at all. But the people will give credence to it, and the people will say, give us a superhero. Give us a Superman. Give us a Batman. Give us a hero. Come on, children, don't get quiet. Give us a man who's a white horse rider.
I've rode quarter horses. Will that work? Thoroughbreds? No. Racing horses? I guess not, huh? Arabians? No, I'm not spiritual enough, am I?
Why does the superhero thing work? Why does it work with our kids in cartoons? Why did it work with you all when you were racing up, whether by cartoons or comic books? Why is it we look for a superhero? And many folks never get away from that stigma that was put in them when they were children. And they look for a superhero preacher.
That's what many folks made out of Brother Branham. That's what he is. He's a superhero, and they will not take anything about his humanity at all. And that's why they get mad or horned as you if you tell them, because you are doing something to their superhero image.
Got one superhero in my life. He's so wonderful, I don't need another one. It's the Lord Jesus. I said, it's the Lord Jesus. I don't need a superhero deacon or a superhero pastor. I've got a superhero daddy, a superhero redeemer, a superhero, hallelujah, that conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Now notice what Aaron does, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy Elohim, O Israel. Not Baal, not Ashtaroth, not Chemosh. Not Apis, not any of the Egyptian gods, but this is your Elohim. We're giving you an image to your invisible, faceless God. Isn't it amazing every branch in the message want their own kind? The black folks want a black Messiah. The Indian folks want an Indian. The Indians from India, they want an Indian, that kind of Indian. The white folks want a white man. You know why? Because you ain't satisfied with what God gave you. If you ever find the true Messiah, your Messiah searching days are over. That's right. But if you don't recognize this word as being the anointed Messiah, then you'll go from this preacher to that one, to that one, to that one, and you keep looking and looking and looking, and because you have a desire for it, Satan will have you a kingdom builder out there. Well, y'all gonna preach with me or look at me? Now, these be thy gods, O Israel. Here you go. This now, no matter what Moses does, no matter what the prophet does, no matter who goes here, who goes there, this God will be with us all the time. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You've got to be kidding me. Don't you see, friend? Idolatry is much trickier and much more deceptive than what people think. You think that people falling down before that thing there and say, oh, this is a god, this is a god. That's not idolatry, that's ignorance. Real idolatry is they think that bush represents that invisible God, and they are worshiping that God through that bush. And that God will come down in that bush. Well, praise the Lord. So now they transfer the deliverance from the invisible power of God to now this molten calf and said, this is what brought you out. This is what done it right here. These be thy gods, O Israel. This brought you out of the land of Egypt. Lord God, help us. These be thy gods. Now, did they mean it was that? No, it's a symbol. It's a sign. This is your God right here. He's hid in this calf. Can't you see how close folks are when they cross that line and they leave a Brother Branham being a prophet and they cross right over that very fine, sensitive line, and many of them are worshiping. They don't bow down on their knees and worship him. They worship him by veneration. People don't understand what worship is. They think worship is, yes, Brother Branham, oh, Brother Branham, I worship you, oh, Brother Branham. Oh, no, that's not the kind of worship I'm talking about. I'm talking about it owns the deepest secret parts of the veneration of their soul. They venerate that man. They adore that man. They get more thrill talking about him than they do the Lord Jesus. Boy, the longer I go, the quieter you're getting. Whether you do that to Brother Branham or me or any other man or your mama or your daddy or your wife or whoever it is wrong, friends. It is idolatry. There should be nothing or no one that thrills your heart like Jesus Christ. Your job, your money, your house, whatever your work, every bit of it should be wound down the line. It should be Jesus that makes you cry. It should be Jesus that makes you shout. It should be Jesus that makes you rejoice. You see, the crime for which they are guilty is not altogether forsaking God, but helping God have a tangible image which He Himself never created. These be thy gods. So this is a visible representation of Jehovah. So the passion for gods is in this text that we see. And it did not die there. It's still in human beings today. Now watch in verse 5. So Aaron takes the graven tool and molds it and shapes it. He was an artisan, we know. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
They have not left God. They have not left worshiping Elohim, the Lord Jehovah. But now they've got an image which will be with them all the time. Don't you understand why a heathen packs an idol? You understand? I've been in third world countries where they still sell idols. Don't you understand why they do that? That way they can have that visible image of what they think that God looks around. Stick it in your shirt pocket, in your front pocket, in your hip pocket, your coat pocket. Put it in your briefcase. Wherever you go, you've got him with you everywhere. Why, it's so much easier for the eyes and the senses than it is for a man to believe the Almighty God lives in a person's heart and he packs him with him everywhere he goes. But that has to come by faith, of course. So their sin is not that they've totally forsaken God. They've completely left God. They have given God a visible image which he himself never made. This image was totally made by a man taking quotes. I mean taking tools and shaping and molding. You understand, children? Then Aaron builds an altar before this image of Jehovah. And he says, now tomorrow we're going to have a convention. Or maybe it'll be a banquet, or we're just going to have a feast of the Lord. I mean, we're going to rejoice and we're going to sing and we're going to have this message convention and we're going to praise God. I'm telling you what, it is going to be one more time. And it was one more time, believe me. Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord, and it is literally a feast to Yahweh will be held tomorrow. Not to Apis, Osiris, Chemosh, Baal, not to those false gods. Don't you understand, friend, the deception of real idolatry? This is what makes it so deceiving in organized religion. People are saying, oh, we're worshiping God. We're building this church for God. We're doing this for God. They do it for God. How was the Crusades? How was the Crusades run? You ever study much Islam and much of their history, you can see a true Muslim that knows their history, they nearly hate Christians. And they hate the Crusades. Even our own president's brought it up several times since he's been in the office. You know why? Because they associate Christianity with the Crusaders. That had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. The Crusades was not led by the apostles. The Crusades was not led by the prophets. It was led by earthly minded men that claimed they were Christians. It had nothing to do with the Holy Ghost Church. Praise the Lord. Don't you understand? Crusades are still going on today. There are message crusaders. They're going out with crosses on their symbols, all kinds of symbols of Jesus and this and that and the other. It's no more than another crusade. It's no more than other crusaders riding the land and trying to conquer in the name of Christ. So they're not standing up and saying, I'll tell you one thing, we're quitting serving God. I don't want nothing to do with him no more. We're going to make us a brand new God. Aaron says, no, we're not doing that. We're just going to merge this in with what we can't see. We're going to merge what we can understand and acceptance and tolerance and all this sort of thing in with what we don't understand. And then tolerance will overcover everything else. And we'll have so much love that we're not going to put anybody out. And we're not going to preach hard anymore. We're not going to do anything that's going to make anybody mad. We don't want to offend nobody. You know, I realized a long time ago, being a preacher, you're going to offend people if you preach hard. Right? You're going to offend God if you don't. You tell me which one you think I should offend. You or him? You tell me, who should I worry about pleasing? What people say, what Laodiceans say, or what God says? So here they're going to have this visible image
Now you can make this visible image a pope, a preacher, a prophet, a pastor, a mother, a church, whatever. And now we're going to merge that together with God. And tomorrow we're going to have a meeting. I'm telling you what, boy, we're going to have a time. Verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow. They were like a kid with a new toy. I mean, it's like the first day of deer season. For you that don't hunt, it's the first day of whatever days you like doing. Man, they can't, you know, it's like a child waiting for Christmas time or Thanksgiving time or whatever it is. They can't sleep. They're under this anticipation. God is finally visible among them. Now they've got a pastor that's the man of their dreams. He always flies through windows. He sails about. He goes into phone booths and abracadabra, abracadoo. I'm going to come out and scare you. Here he comes. He's a mighty man. He's got Krypton and Ipton and Leapton and all the rest of the tongues. My, he's a mighty man. He can walk on water. Oh, he can chew bolts of steel. He can spit out rivets. Oh, he's a powerful being. And of course, they're going to merge him together with Elohim, so they make him a servant of God. That is a figment of Walt Disney's and yours imagination. There is no such a person. Praise the Lord, but that's what folks are looking for. Don't you understand, friend, what they wanted? They wanted that great supernatural power of God. They did not want that to leave them. But they wanted to modify it and change it to their own liking. They could scarcely sleep for thinking, finally, I can make sense out of going to church. All this seventh angel stuff and Malachi 4 stuff and mystery stuff and revelation stuff. Finally, now I've got a preacher down on my level. Which for some folks is the slum. For others it's the gutter. Bring God down on our level. Laodicean preachers are specialists. They modify, they change, they polish, they redo. You know, they're changing God's character, changing God's makeup, changing everything. And they're merging that image with the God of the Bible. And the poor people are sitting there, oh my, that makes, I feel so free. I went to happy about it and I felt so bad, but I'm so free. I've never been so free in my life. Oh, the devil's leaving me alone. I guarantee he's leaving you alone. He don't consider you a threat no more. You say you changed sides. You jumped out of the gospel ship and jumped on his ship. Come on now, church. Don't get quiet with me. And you've accepted an image that was made by a man and fashioned by a man's tool, a man's understanding and a man's wisdom. And you have changed the image of the invisible God to a visage made and understood by carnal men. Oh my, they're up at the crack of dawn to serve the invisible God. If you had church at 10, they couldn't get there till 10:30. Which is always a marvel to me. Why folks don't show up at church on time. If you're working late, that's one thing. You know what it is? It's a choice of priorities. Your prophet taught you, you ought to be here before it starts, not 30 minutes after it starts. Shame on you that don't put your priorities right in your life. You'd rather sleep 30 minutes later on Sunday morning than to get to church on time. What kind of message you sending to your kids? What kind of message you sending to other people around you? And yet if you show up late at work, they'll dock you or fire you. Boy, it's a good thing God don't fire folks for being late at church. A lot of you folks have been the unemployment line. Woo! Well, hallelujah. Man alive, what in the world happened to me when I walked out of that door tonight? Goodness. Now you see, friend, what this is, it is a defiling mixture. It is a defiling mixture. Like a sinner, mango Christian. This is a defiling mixture of man-made merged into God-made. Right. invisible. Visible married into visible. Everybody hang on tight now. I personally don't believe that God will ever marry interracially. Interracially, I mean, by God being deity, marrying human beings earthly. It's two different races. God is divine, holy, pure. So if we ever get married to God, we've got to be reborn into another race. God, the holy divine God, will not marry up or mix his divine race with unholy, unchaste, unregenerate mortals which are of another race. So in order for God to have a wife, she's got to be of the new race, which is divine, and that puts him divine and her divine, and they're matched up properly. Don't you see what the church is trying to do? They're trying to get God to take them on their own carnal man-made basis. I ain't saved, I ain't born again, I ain't regenerated, God, but you gotta marry me. God said, no, I don't. I'll marry my own kind. I'm divine and she's gotta be divine. I'm Mr. Jesus, she's Miss Jesus. I'm Mr. Grace, she's Miss Grace. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Notice their worship hasn't changed at all. They're not now bringing strange and perverse and weird different things. It's exactly the same way as if it was the day before or 2 days before or 6 weeks before when Moses offered it. Exact same things. This is what makes it so deceitful. If people left the word, if they left, quit singing rock, you know, Christian music and went to rock and roll and punk and all that sort of thing, people know, oh, there's something wrong right there. Oh my, there's something wrong. But they still sing the same songs. They sing about grace. They sing about mercy. They sing about salvation. And they bring peace offerings. And my, they got more of them than anything else. Oh my, we're all peaceable and we're all loving and all. They bring all of that sort of thing to God. And people say, wow, well, they're not that far off, really, are they? I mean, I just think they made a choice. Do you understand? Once you have embraced this much light, for you to turn and walk from a church that has this much light, and you decide to go by your own choice from that church down to a church who has this much light, do you understand how God looks at that? You have turned and walked away not from a church. You have walked away from Him. Because the way He chose to reveal Himself in that light, and that light advanced, will speak against you at the day of judgment. Not that preacher so much, not that church, but your own testimony. I see this, I see this, I see this, but I refuse to go there anymore. I'm going over here. God said, my soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. Their extraordinary diligence is declared by them getting up before daylight. So let's say it this way. If your brother is somebody who's going to go on a golfing trip, and I don't understand that much about golf, but if the thing starts, whatever it is you say, however you start the deal, and you say, look, we're going to start at 10 o'clock, and if you're not there by 10, then you can't get in with us. How many of y'all put on your bright pink shirts and your funny colored clothes that golfing seems to, you know, do? No different than hunting clothes, I understand. Man, I don't want to be late. I don't want to be late for kickoff. No, that's football. That's what they call that? Tee off. Okay, tee off. Tee off. I don't want to be late. If I'm late for tee off, I won't be able to be with the brothers. And man, I'm there for fellowship. And you show up 45 minutes after church starts. So just as an observer watching you and keeping this record here, watching you for golf, for work, going on a date with your wife, this, and this, you're always right on time or before time. Church, late. No accidents. Your false teeth was able to be found. Your eyes, everything, all your false parts was found. You was there, but you just blazed around. And you think you are a great representative of Christianity? If people will do this for idolatry, what ought we to be for the church of the living God? The truth of what we say we believe to be the message of this hour. And the people rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And remember, these are commanded by God to be offered only to Him. They are now being presented to the golden calf. So this zeal is only to be to God. These offerings only to God. All these things only to God. But now they're giving that to hunting or giving that to golfing or giving that to whatever. Why? Because they have merged the visible with the invisible. And in their mind, it's okay. So they rose up early on the morrow. They offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat. A feast, of course, followed a sacrifice. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now they go from worship to revelry. And you watch every person that will walk away from this word. Show me one of them that stays clean. Right. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. And rose up to play. The sensualism of idol worship constantly goes hand in hand. Now watch the word here that Moses used, the word play. To laugh, to jest, to make sport, toy with, make a toy. It suggests immorality. Singing and dancing were included. They were running wild. Now what had left or supposedly started out from a worship to the Lord wound up being clowns, circuses, Starbucks in the church, donuts, bring your own lunch and eat it while I'm preaching. Come on, children. So they bring it right into the church and it goes straight from the worship of Yahweh to the worship of themselves. Don't you see what Laodicea is leading the world to? Self-worship. Indulgence of ourselves. I want. I like this. I don't like that. I. How many folks in message churches are worshiping themselves? They get mad if they can't control the heat or they can't control the sound or control this and that. Don't you understand why? It crosses their God. We're to worship one God, and that's not me or you. Because in case you don't know it, I will tell you, you ain't no God. Most of you couldn't make a hill of beans, much less a universe. Woo. Immorality accompanies idolatry. Look at the Laodicean church. Look at the whore of Revelation 17. And look and see how sensualism and the spiritual thing goes right along with such a thing, with a denomination. God said, I'll cast them into a bed. And them that commit adultery, even using sensual language. Why? It goes hand in hand. Look at the false doctrines and the moves that's been around the message and say, if it don't leave a whole trail of all types of sexual things and all types of adulteries in the church and around the preacher. Come on, children, and unborn babies and all kinds of things. Why? Sensualism goes with idolatry. And purity goes with the pure word of God. Sanctification. Here they are down there dancing. The women stripping off. Swapping wives. Awful. Terrible. And started right out in church. I guarantee you one thing. Some of these men leaving this message and thinking their wives have found so much freedom. I promise you in the name of the Lord God, they'll live to regret it. They'll see how much freedom so-called their women get. That ain't my word. That's His words. I say it in His name because it is His words. Come on, church. You leave the word of God. There's nothing but uncleanness left laying before you. Here they are jumping around and screaming and dressing awful and undressing and pitiful stuff. And right up on the mountain. Right up on the mountain, God finished up His word. God gives it to His prophet. In verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing and Moses' anger. Oh my, waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. You imagine coming straight from the presence of God. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. So here is the priesthood. The preachers. Instead of telling them to put their clothes on, the preacher was telling them it's okay to take them off. Amen. Now watch, this is what Moses sees. Now let's go backwards, if you will. Watch in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go! Get thee down! For thy people. The scene suddenly shifts from the dancing and the idolatry and the adultery and fornication going on in the camp. The scene changes to the top of the mountain. You imagine Moses is in shock as he's seeing the grace of God, the epitome of the love of God coming out and giving the word and telling him, I'll do this and I'll make Israel this and I'll do that. And all of a sudden God said, for your people. Amen. Do you understand what God just said? Go get thee down for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. God got angry at the children of Israel for saying this. Now God's telling Moses, they're yours! Do you understand what God's saying? I don't want nothing to do with them again. Brother Jim, God right there disowned the whole nation. They are not my people. They are yours! And get out of my sight. Lord God. Thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They were transgressors of the covenant. And God said, I disown them. But I want you to notice who God's who God's talking to. God disowns them to their mediator. If God would have disowned them to the devil, it would have been finished. If God would have disowned them to the angels, it would have been finished. But God disowned them to their mediator. Hallelujah to God. Notice in verse 8, he said, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto. Now notice how God looks at it. They look at it that this image is just a preacher that resembles God to them. He's the closest thing to God that they have. So they adore him and oh, they just venerate this preacher. Oh, he's so wonderful and oh, they love him so much and they sing songs about him and everything. And they think they're giving the deepest respect and God said they're worshiping him. Oh my. And have sacrificed there unto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Mount Sinai, chapter 20, verse 3, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. 6 weeks, church. 6 weeks before. 6 weeks. How in their mind did they turn it away from that scripture? No doubt there must have been some understanding that convinced them they was not breaking the word. Six weeks. Paul must have felt the same way in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. They made a molten calf, God said. They worshipped it. They turned away. Notice again Exodus 32 verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. And behold, it is a stiff-necked, obstinate, selfish. They want their own things. Now therefore, let me alone. God has a hard time telling a mediating prophet, no. Moses had already started praying. Moses had already started mediating, and it was so pulling on God's heartstrings that God said, leave me alone. Don't you start crying. Don't you start praying. You know you tear me all to pieces when you go to crying. You know I can't hardly stand it when you do. And then people think a prophet don't have a special place in the eyes of God. God said, don't you go to crying to me now. Don't you go to praying to me. Leave me alone. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Don't hinder me by your prayers. Yes. Lord have mercy. Don't you hinder me by praying. Lord, children. I know you're fixing to do it. I know you're fixing to. Don't do it. Moses said, I got to. I love him. Jeremiah 7:16, therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up nor cry nor pray for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Notice the office of a prophet. God tells him beforehand, Jeremiah, don't you go to crying to me. I can't take it when you do it. You're a prophet. You got power. You got power of persuasion with me. Don't do it, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 11:14, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift you up, cry, pray for them again. He says it again. Jeremiah 14:11, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. God said, Moses, don't do it. Tear it all to pieces every time you go to praying for them. Hallelujah. Now notice the offer. God said, leave me alone. Let me annihilate them, and I'll make the entire message out of your church. Leave me alone and I'll kill every one of them. And I'll make all the nation of Israel come out of you and your two sons. Now I wonder how many message preachers have God made this offer to them. He ain't even made it to most of them, and they've already claimed it. We're the only ones. We're the only ones going. It's only us. Ain't nobody else but us. If you get it, you got to come to us. He ain't even made this offer to them. But can you imagine, boy, I'm saying, yes, sir, Lord, kill them all and start with Donnie Reagan. That sorry, low down, good for nothing. He won't recognize me as being this and that and the other. I'll tell you one thing, God, kill them all. Kill them all in Louisiana. Kill them all over the world and start with us, Lord. Make us the message. Brother Ram says, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son that he might drink the bitter cup for you. Remember, he became you that you might become him. He became a sinner, separated from the Father. When he screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from God in his death. He was separated from God in his death. That you in your death might have God's presence. He become a child of sin. Your sin. Not his own, yours. That you might become a child of obedience. What was he? The mediator. How many times that God maybe have killed me or killed you after I got saved? Come on. But it just so happened God said it to the right person. I'll tell you one thing, I'm getting fed up with Donnie Reagan. One more deal out of him, but God said it to my mediator. And my mediator said, Father, don't take him, take me. Father, don't take him, take me. He stood for me down there in the earth, Father. I stand for him now. You see, Lord, he stood for me in terrible times. I stand for him. Why? God said it to the right person. Oh, children, wonder if God could use us to be a mediator for a backslider or a mediator for somebody that's wayward. What will you say about them? Oh, God, go ahead and send them to hell. You say, God, please save them. God, have mercy on them. God, save them if you can. Notice again on the side of the time, Brother Ben said, God hates sin and loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. He loves America, but he hates the sin. He loves his church, but he hates the sin in the church. That's the way God looked at these people of Israel. And God says, get out of my way. Don't you go to crying to me and praying to me. I'll kill them all. And I'll make a nation out of you. The condescension of God placed the entire destiny of this nation in the hands of his prophet. But God done knew what he'd say. God don't do that to everybody. You talking about a compliment to a man. The same man, my brother, sister, that's fixing to throw these tablets down out of his temper, out of his rage and out of his anger and fixing to break them and do all of that. And yet he stands right there. You know why Moses could say it? It was Christ in Moses. I said it was Christ in Moses. Moses stood the test. The preservation of Israel was placed right there in the hands of this man. Oh, if he had said, yes, Lord, I accept.
God, he would have not broke one scripture with Abraham, not one with Isaac, not one with Jacob, not one with Joseph, because Moses was of the stock of Israel. And God could have annihilated the whole bunch and brought it right through him and made it come out of him and said, no, Lord, no, don't do it. And God said, why you do that? Why you do that? You know I can't take it. You know I can't take it. A lesser man would have accepted the invitation.
A lesser man would have said, wow, I don't know about this now. That's pretty exciting.
You mean I would be the main one? You'd be the father of them all. Wow. You mean everybody else would be gone? Everybody. I'll start with you.
Well, I am better than them. And I'm definitely more gifted. And they don't have visions and they don't prophesy and all that sort of thing like I do. So that might be a good idea. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of the devil.
As a matter of fact, it come to another place and God said, I'll blot their name out of the book.
Moses said, Lord, if you're going to blot theirs out, then just blot my name out there. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus saying to the great invisible loving Father, if his anger would rage and wax hot, and God said, I'm going to blot every one of their names out. He said, Father, start at the top of the book with mine. For I don't want to be in paradise alone. Because paradise ain't paradise without her. God can't override Christ.
Don't get in Happy Valley. Don't get in Donnie Reagan. Don't get in this man or that man. Get in Christ. You're eternally secure. God can override me. God can override you. God can override Happy Valley. But he can't override Jesus Christ. Amen. God cannot override that. A selfish man would have sought this advancement of his own family. Now I want you to think of this. What did Moses' two sons ever do? What did either of them ever become? What great battles did they win? What victories did they do? What conquests did they make? This is Moses' chance. Me and my boys, we'll be the main ones.
That's right.
But God knew Moses had an invisible presence with him, which was the Spirit of Christ. And it would come on him, and then it would leave him because he wasn't birthed by it. And Moses himself probably feeling so aggravated and so upset. But about that time, he was getting so aggravated. And all of a sudden, it's like he felt this person just step into him. And when God made the offer, that person spoke out of his body and said, they're your people. And Moses said, what did I say? What did I say? Oh. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why are you losing your temper? Lord, why dost thou wax hot against? Uh-oh. Now God had said, they're not mine, they're yours. And Moses said, they ain't mine, they're yours. Hallelujah. Who is it? Christ and Moses. It is Christ putting them right back. They are your people. You begat them. You promised the word. You cannot leave them.
Amen.
I love these words. And Moses besought the Lord his God. And the arrangement of these words is this: to stroke the face of Jehovah for appeasing his anger. So Moses comes up with the gentle hand of Christ and begins to stroke and assemble. Now, stroke the angered face of Jehovah. And God feels that soft, gentle hand of Christ. And he gets in a good mood. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Let me close. Why does our wrath wax hot against thy people? They're your people. You're chosen. You're elect. They've messed up, and what they've done is not right. But they're still yours. You imagine God looking at them and saying, there you go. You're doing exactly what I told you not to do. You know, every time you do this, I just break down. And then people want to laugh at a prophet of God. I challenge you to have this effect on God's heart. I challenge you and your websites and your letters and this and that and the other to move God the way a prophet can. Lord, to thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt. I never brought them out. You did. Now hear God saying the same thing the children of Israel said, and God got mad at them saying it, and now God's saying it. Amen. But Moses wasn't saying what God was saying. God said, thy people that you brought out. He said, I ain't saying what you said on that. Because them ain't my people, and I never brought them out. They're your people. You ain't dumping them on me, Lord. They're yours. Oh, I remind him the same thing of that happy valley sometimes. And my burden gets so heavy and my load gets so difficult. I say, Lord God, you're the one who called me years ago to come here. I didn't want to move to Johnson City. I was happy living down there in Kentucky and nobody's still a nobody. I didn't want to travel around. I didn't want to do all this and another. But Lord God, you sent me here. And you didn't send me here to drive me nuts, I don't think. You didn't send me here to drive me crazy. They are your people. It is your church. It is your work. It is your bride. It is your rapture. It is your responsibility.
Amen.
Now notice, and let me close. In verse 12 he says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out? To slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent. Dear Lord. Moses is preaching a sermon and God's fixing to come to the altar. What was that to turn the wrath of God? It was not Moses. It was the Spirit of Christ. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Let's stand. Hallelujah. We'll pick up the altar call next week.
Lord, children. You're talking about the position that a true prophet of God holds in God's eyes, Brother Jack. That before God ever goes into his anger and all that, he tells him, now don't you go to crying to me. Don't you go to asking me to forgive him. Because you know every time you get in that mood, I can't take it. I'm tired of my own pieces. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then this same man could move out from under this compelling anointing, the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ would come and anoint him. It's a person that it would come and anoint him. It would step back. And then when it would step back, he's Moses again. And he could look at him with anger. You bunch of rebels. You can take that law and bust it right before him. It's a good thing God didn't ask him then. You ever notice that God kind of tricks you on stuff? God knows how to ask the right question at the right time. You love me? I mean, I love you. Don't ask me tomorrow at a certain time. You know how you say, oh, God, you love me? He don't say, you love me? But he knows how to get you. And he knows how to get Moses. Here's the person of Christ standing real near. And all of a sudden, it's like someone else is looking out of his eyes. Every preacher that's ever preached very much under the anointing knows what that feeling is like. Maybe not quite like Moses. But it's like you're standing there preaching, and you're preaching, you're preaching, you're preaching. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody else steps in. And they're barring your eyes and your mouth. And they go to saying things beyond your own intelligence. Beyond what you've even studied. Beyond what you even know. And they use you as a microphone, as it were. And then they step out, and then you resume it. Believe me, it is one of the most awesome feelings in this whole wide world. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, since I found this several weeks ago, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, it's been burning in my heart to bring it. Because I could see so much, not just Moses and Israel, but I could see us. I think of Brother Branham. Lord, when he went into that restaurant that day in Ohio to get a sandwich, and the jukebox was playing, and the police officer standing out with his arm around the woman in the wrong place. The woman asked him to be seated. He just sat there and looked. He thought, God, will you let this place stand? I have to raise my children in this place. The Lord said, come here, I want to speak to you. And he saw the world spinning around, and he saw Jesus. He saw the sins coming up and hitting Jesus, and Jesus and the blood was like a bumper. And it would hit him and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And he said, he asked the question, Lord, is that the sins of the world? He said, no, that's yours. He said, Lord, please forgive me. And he reached over in his side and took his finger, dipped it in the blood, and wrote pardon on his book and threw it over in the sea of forgiveness and said, I forgive you, but you want to condemn her. Oh Lord, we as Christians, daily in this filthy, ungodly world we live in, we need cleansing, Lord. Hallelujah. As the foot washing symbol comes, Lord, we know it's he that is washed saideth not to wash save for his feet. We know it was a type of the bathhouses of those days, that most people didn't have a bathroom in their home, so they'd have public bathhouses. So they would go to the public bathhouse and take a bath. But dusty roads, and they'd walk back to their house, and by the time they got back home, their feet were dirty again. So then when they'd get back home, they'd have to wash their feet again. But they didn't need to take a bath all over. So you use that symbol. He that is washed, saideth not to be washed, except just his feet. So it ain't that we need the Holy Ghost again. It's not that we need to get saved again. It's our feet, our walk, that needs to be washed. You gave the symbol of the brazen laver, Lord, that the priests would wash therein. Moses anointed them and washed them one time, and the prophet gave them a bath.
when they were placed positionally. But the prophet never had to give them a bath again. But they had to wash their feet every time they come in, because the feet was their walk. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that we've still got the washing of the water by the word. Lord Jesus, as we walk in this old world, that we can wash our feet, as it were, in the symbol. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for grace. Thank you for Christ. I'm sure I've upset you many times. Lord, I haven't run with women, haven't drank, haven't done any of those things. I've never wanted a kingdom. Lord, my shortcoming and my failure has been the other way. I've always begged to get out of it. I've never wanted to do it, Lord. But that's just as wrong. No doubt you got so upset at me. No doubt you've got so angry at me. But I'm so glad, my mediator, that you spoke to my mediator. And my mediator spoke back for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, forgive us of our failures and mistakes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, great Adonai. We worship you tonight, Lord. Keep us free from idolatry. Help us. It will not help construct a visible image to the invisible God and say, these be thy Elohim. Happy Valley. Worship Jesus through the prophet. Worship Jesus through the pastor. Lord, we want no worship. We want no worship. That's yours. I believe, Lord, every preacher has the capability of being a kingdom builder. The more gifted that preacher is, the more potential he has to build a kingdom. Why would I want to build a kingdom on this earth, a little or small kingdom, and have a few hundred followers or 2,000, whatever it be? Why would I want to settle for that and call it the kingdom of Donnie Reagan, under the auspices, of course, of the kingdom of God, and trade off being a part of helping build the biggest kingdom that has ever been in the world? That is your kingdom. For if I spend my time building on my own kingdom, I'm afraid my labors will be lost. None of the Gentile warriors that was called to stand with David, not a one of them, according to scripture or according to history, veered off to the side to build a little kingdom on the side. But every one of them stayed right there true to David. And then when David got in his position, he gave them cities and made them rulers. Lord God, help me. Help these brothers here. Lord, help your men around the world. Why would we want to waste our time building us a little tiny small kingdom when we're a part of the biggest thing that's ever been? But how can I build my kingdom and yours at the same time when you would consider it a threat? Then if I was a kingdom builder here, how could you ever trust me in the millennium? If I would do that in your kingdom now among your people, would you really give me cities to control in the millennium if my character would be the same? Would not I do the same there? So, Lord, we don't want to be kingdom builders. Oh, no. We want to help, if we can, just be little helpers in this great big kingdom of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. You love him, children? If there's anything between you and the Lord tonight, go to your Moses, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God could have, out of Christ, a new creation, the head of the new race. I'll begin with you. I'll annihilate this book. I'll destroy the whole thing. I'll begin a new thing. But he said, Father, these are my attributes. Don't destroy the earth. Her name is in the book of life. Amen. No, don't destroy them. They are your people. They are your thoughts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You brought us out of Baptist. You brought us out of Pentecost. You brought us out of the world. We are thy people. Our shortcomings are many. Our failures are many. Oh, but Lord God, we believe that will not change. We believe you will not disown us. We are yours and you are ours. Praise be to God. Can we just worship him a little?
before we go. I know you got work, your children got probably still got school for a couple more days, some of you. Oh my. We ought to just come into the presence of our mediator. My, just worship him and love him. Let's not give these peace offerings and these love offerings and all this to some preacher, to some prophet, some pastor, and think we're worshiping God through him. Veneration and worship and adoration belongs to the Lord God alone. Sure, respect the ministry, pray for them, love them, all that. But don't cross that line of giving to preachers what only belongs to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We bless your name. You are worthy, O Lord. Sing something, Harry. Let's worship together, saints. Let's just worship him now. Praise be to God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Sorry, Lord, for the pain I made.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you.
About you, Lord.
It's all about you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm coming back to the heart.
Yes, Lord.
Of worship.
It's not about angels.
It's
not about prophets.
It's all about
it's not about
you,
preachers,
Jesus.
Lord.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the things.
It's not about our gifts, our ability, Lord.
Oh, it's all about you.
Yes.
It's all about you.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, my God.
Could express.
Thank you, Jesus.
How much you deserve.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is you. Every single breath, I'm screaming more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the pain I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into
my heart.
Oh, it's all about you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Carol, come here and stand for Sharon. Let's pray for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, you see Sharon, Carol's sister, Lord, taking these treatments. Cancer, to most of us, Lord, to hear the word, it just sends fear through us. Yet your prophet has told us if the doctor said we had it, if we didn't fear it, it couldn't harm us. Lord, I pray for your strength to her. I pray the doctors would be able to do their part. But most importantly, we're looking to the great physician. Hallelujah. We look to another report beyond Mayo. We look to another report beyond the cancer clinic. We look to that report of Isaiah. To that report of Peter, by your stripes we were healed. Amen. Lord God, may that healing manifest itself in her body, strengthen her. I pray, Lord, through these various tests and treatments and things she goes through, Lord God, we believe our lives are placed on this earth to serve your purpose. There ain't enough devils out of hell to take us. Those who are walking in your will until that purpose is finished. Be with her, strengthen her, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad you have your God walking around with you? Inside you? Aren't you glad you don't have to take a statue or an idol or a picture in your wallet or some kind of visage or something like that? Amen. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides. He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk in the
night and day, as I walk this stairway for the comforter of my dream. Well, He is with me every day, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird, just as free. For the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides. As I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Hallelujah! Bless Him in the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad He's with you? Last year when I was in India, I was looking out the hotel window, and I watched a man as he picked up his idol out of the back of his car. He packed it over to where they was having a little spot there on the side of the world worship, and he sits it down and fixes it all up. And it falls over and he picks it up. I told the church that morning, I am so glad that I don't have to pack my God to church. He packs me to church. And when I fall over, He picks me up. Aren't you glad He's that kind of a God? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Listen, let's sing that song, Running, Running, Trying to Make 100. We're running, running. I'm gonna make 100, 'cause 99 and a half it just won't do. We're running, running, trying to make 100, 99 and a half just won't do. God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord. Running, running. I'm going to make 199 and a half. Oh, running, running. Going to make 199 and a half. Just won't do. Won't do. Running.